And now, a brand new episode of the Script to Screen News Hour here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM with hosts Alan Mahana and Hod Solo. Hello, screeners, and welcome to a brand new episode of Script to Screen. It is Saturday, January 12th, 2019, and so much news. It's like we're almost done with January, and Hollywood's going crazy. The Golden Globes were last week. We had some snubs, some great wins. Rumors surrounding Star Wars Episode 9 keep going around, now proclaiming that the finale of the Skywalker saga is the biggest Star Wars production to date. We've got a brand new film to talk about today. We're also talking about Denis Villeneuve's brand new film, issues regarding John Lasseter, the Oscars. I mean, it's crazy. And then two even confirmed sequels. Potentially confirmed sequels. And I can't talk about all this stuff alone, so join me in welcoming the Solo to my Chewbacca, the one, the only Hod Solo.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, Hod.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm just a bit, like, stressed. Yeah, I nearly didn't make it on time.
Yeah, it was a very stressful, like, opening.
If you're in Beirut and you saw, like, a red beamer going crazy on the roads, that was me. I'm sorry if I honked at you or if I maybe insulted you. I'm sorry, guys. I had to make it here.
You did, because we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, so much.
We already had a plan B kind of, you know, working out, but
I'm glad it didn't come to that.
Right, right. The Force was with us
on
this one.
The Force with the Millennium Falcon.
Hyperspace, yeah. Hyperdrive. So, I mean, exciting episode today we've got ahead of us.
Definitely. A lot of award news. Yep, very excited about the Golden Globe segment to talk about that.
Me too. Brooklyn Nine-Nine premiered earlier this week.
Yep, I can't wait to start watching the new season.
You haven't seen it yet?
No, but I read somewhere that it opened with the highest ratings.
Yes, it did open with the highest ratings. Well, we'll leave the talk about Brooklyn Nine-Nine to next week then, because I don't want to, you know, because I saw it and I have my perspective on it.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's not waste too much time here. Let's jump right in and talk about Clint Eastwood's brand new film, The Mule.
I'm sorry for everything.
All right.
Cool.
Okay. Let's jump right in here. What do you think?
What did I think? Meh. Again, it's one of those times where yesterday I was thinking, what's the movie of the week? And I forgot, which goes to show you that not a very, very, very memorable film. Very sadly.
Yeah.
Because
you're a huge Eastwood fan.
I love Eastwood. And again, you have to admire what the man is doing at 88 years old.
I mean,
directing and starring in a film. I mean, I don't think that's very simple or easy to do. So good job on that, Mr. Eastwood. But the film,
it's deja vu.
Yeah.
Right?
I just want to talk about two positive things, and I think I'll leave the floor to you because you have more issues than I do with the movie.
Sure.
Besides it being meh and deja vu and so, but I loved his performance.
Okay.
I think we differ on that opinion.
Yeah.
But because all his life, Clint Eastwood, in the majority of his movies, has been this very tough, no BS kind of older man or man, very aggressive. here he has a dash of humor, which I really enjoyed, and softness and sweetness.
Right.
So I like that. He's very likable as a character. He's the grandpa I want to have, like, as a third grandpa.
Sure.
And the soundtrack to me was good. It's my kind of music. A lot of Dean Martin, Willie Nelson.
Yeah, right.
But then everything else was just forgettable. That's the word. Forgettable. Yeah. From other performances to the story, script, all just forgettable.
Yeah. I mean, if any of you listened to my audio review I released, you know, because we're, again, Script to Screen 2019 is us overcrowding you with content is essentially what's happening. I had an in-depth review about it. My main issues with the storyline was that it really, and this is kind of a heavy word, and I didn't even know if I can say this on the air, but it really bastardized the redemption arc for me, because this man spends the entire film trying to do good, and when he reaches this epitome, everything is taken away from him, and it almost gives you this idea of, like, yep, you can try to do good, but at the end of the day, life's just gonna screw you over. And I really did not like the way I left feeling, you know, the movie left me feeling in a way. And at the same time, I understand, because the only other option would be that he is somehow cleared of all the illegal activities that he did, which also doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, I get it, but I just don't like these kinds of storylines for me. I thought Logan did a much better job at doing a redemption arc. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't talk about redemption arcs without talking about Star Wars. So, you know, and for me, the acting, it wasn't necessarily the acting. I just feel like the script was just so bad.
Yeah.
The dialogue was terrible. A lot of stuff, you feel like people don't talk like this. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. Nothing about it engaged me at any point. Cinematographically, it's very basic. Mm-hmm. It's not even that exciting visually. Were there fun, chuckly moments? Yes, I can give you that. There were some chuckly moments. I chuckled bits and pieces, but it wasn't enough for me to be excited about this movie.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. If you want to be positive, you kind of look at those things to highlight positiveness. One other thing that I really enjoy was they set you up with these characters that are supposed to have character arcs. And they set up a story with some characters, and you think that it's going to lead somewhere.
And it doesn't.
And they either disappear or nothing happens.
You liked this or didn't?
I didn't like this.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. No, I don't know why I thought you... I heard liked.
No,
I was
like, disliked. Wait, what? Yeah, I love it when they do that. They set you up for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then nothing. That's the best thing ever, you know?
It's a kick in the head.
Yeah, ain't that a kick in the head?
All right. Well, I mean, that's pretty much it. If you watch The Mule, and if your opinion differs from ours, please let us know. DM either me or Had on Instagram. You can reach out to me on Twitter. Leave us a voice message on Anchor. We'd love to hear your opinion either way, you know, so let us know. Golden Globes 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Snubs, dubs,
and some good...
And some good dub and some good moments. Stuff. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know what to think, honestly. It's just some of the stuff was kind of predictable. Others were surprises. So let's just dive right in.
Let's dive right in and specify that this is based on movies we have watched.
Yes, because yes.
There are some films we haven't seen.
Correct. So for the Best Picture Drama and Best Picture Comedy, for Best Picture Drama, Bohemian Rhapsody takes the Golden Globe. And then for Best Picture Comedy, Green Book took the Golden Globe. Now, I haven't seen Green Book, but you have, and you think this is fully well-deserved?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I haven't seen Vice, Crazy Rich Asians, or The Favorite.
Okay.
But between that and Mary Poppins, it kind of edges it a little bit.
I have yet to see Green Book, but I did see Vice, and I loved Vice.
Okay.
I loved Vice.
All right, very good.
So
between Mary Poppins and Vice?
Oh, no, Vice.
Vice.
By far. Yeah. I mean, Mary Poppins is a great film, and it's beautifully heartwarming, but it's nowhere near the genius of what Vice did. Okay. Vice is just beyond words superb.
Like, for me, I love Green Book, the sensibility of the story, and they're both fantastic.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then Bohemian Rhapsody.
I was a bit disappointed.
Yes, me too. I loved it, but I do not think that it deserved the Best Picture nomination. I don't think it is that much of a great film. Mm-hmm. If we're putting It and A Star Is Born, because I feel like they are kind of similar in their mood and atmosphere, mm-hmm. if we were to put those two together competing, for me, A Star Is Born is by far a much better film, a much stronger film.
I agree with you, absolutely.
Directorially, performance-wise, okay, maybe not performance-wise, but directorially, overall as a product, it holds up a little more, I think, than Bohemian Rhapsody does.
True. And the other movies, again, I mean, Black Panther, I enjoyed, but... we haven't seen... Black Klansman.
No, I haven't seen it yet. I have it, but I have I have yet to see it. I should see it before the Oscars.
Beale Street could talk, I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, so Best Actor Drama and Best Actor Comedy. Drama, Rami Malek won, and Christian Bale won for comedy. And I think both of those are well-deserved, honestly.
Like, for me, Rami Malek does definitely deserve it. Even though I'm a Star Is Born fan for everyone to know that. But his performance definitely is deserving as Freddie Mercury.
And his acceptance speech was absolutely heartwarming.
You have a...
Let's take a listen.
I got to thank my mom and my family. I got to thank Doug Luchterhand, Cynthia Pett, Annabelle Galazzi, Ben Curtis, Marissa Martins, and Michelle Margolis for all of this. And of course, to Queen. To you, Brian May. To you, Roger Taylor, for ensuring that authenticity and inclusivity exists in the music and in the world and in all of us. Thank you to Freddie Mercury for giving me the joy of a lifetime. I love you, you beautiful man. This is for and because of you, gorgeous. Mwah.
I mean, you cannot smile when you listen at this. It's fantastic. Yeah. And then Christian Bale.
I mean, again, I haven't seen Vice.
Yeah.
But from what I saw trailer-wise and what I've read about him and what he's done in terms of the role.
The weight gain and everything.
And the way he just looks like...
he's insane.
It's amazing. I love Viggo Mortensen, but... I think Christian Bale makes sense. I think so. Again, I have yet to watch the film.
But
I'm not disappointed by this.
Here's a little funny snippet from his acceptance speech.
Oh, look at all of us. What a bunch of lucky buggers we are, right? To make a life out of doing something that we love, right? That's extraordinary. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of that for so many years. Thank you to my beautiful wife, who told me less is more. Say less right now. She knows the dumb crap that can come out of my mouth at times. I can sink and ruin a perfectly good movie and a so-so career in one speech. So thank you for that advice, my love. I wouldn't be working without her.
Oh, man.
I love it when someone, you know, makes fun of himself.
Yes, owns it. They own it. Yeah, they own, you know. Best actress drama and best actress comedy. Glenn Close won for The Wife. And then Olivia Colman won for comedy. Now, I have yet to see both of those films. Mm-hmm. But I am super happy that Glenn Close won. I think her career in and of itself deserves this kind of recognition for me. And I'm a huge fan of Olivia Colman. You know, I saw her in a TV series called Broadchurch. Her performance is stellar. And I'm excited to see her now in The Crown taking on Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah. I would have liked Lady Gaga to win for Best Actress.
Okay.
I don't mind Glenn Close. Again, haven't seen the performance, but I loved what Lady Gaga did in A Star Is Born. And as for... the
Olivia
musical, I'm fine. I mean, I haven't seen most of the, again, this is a problem with Lebanon. They don't release
everything. Yeah, we don't get everything before the awards season.
Yeah, so sometimes we have to wait for them to come out on DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is sad. Here are both Glenn Close and Olivia Colman's acceptance speeches.
I feel what I've learned through this whole experience is that, you know, women, we're nurturers. That's what's expected of us. We have our children. We have our husbands, if we're lucky enough, and our partners, whoever. But we have to find personal fulfillment. We have to fill our, you know, follow our dreams. We have to say, I can do that. and I should be allowed to do that. So,
you know, a lot of people actually were bothered by her speech. There were a lot of people saying it was overly feminist for no reason, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, for a person who comments about this stuff, mm-hmm. I loved what she said.
Yeah.
Because nowhere was she saying that women should be choosing one over the other. Yeah. She was just saying we should be allowed to make the choice. And that's for me, that's completely fair.
Agreed.
And very much valid. As for Olivia Colman's speech, it was actually quite adorable. I don't think she was expecting to win at all, so take a listen.
Hello. Ooh. God, blimey. Thank you so much. I'm not going to cry because my entire table will point and laugh at me. So I've been crying all evening. Right, okay. Hi. Thank you for the sandwiches. Amazing. Thank you. So thank you. Thank you very much to Hollywood Foreign Press. Thank you so much. And Fox Searchlight and Element and Yorkos. Thank you the most muchly. And my bitches. Emma and Rachel. Thank you. Every second of working with you girls was such a joy.
Oh, man.
I think I enjoy it when British people win awards because they have a very interesting sense of humor.
Yes, right.
And sometimes, like at the Oscars, you'd be watching Best Editing, and it's not necessarily someone you like,
right.
And they come and make this very funny speech, and usually when they're British, I don't know why. I totally love it. Yeah.
Hello.
Massive.
Thank you for the sandwiches. It's just great. Okay, so Best Supporting Actor, Mahershala Ali won for The Green Book.
I was super happy. Yeah,
you're super pumped about that. And then Best Supporting Actress, Regina King won for If Beale Street Could Talk.
Which we have not seen.
We have not yet. You know, we haven't seen yet, so we can't really comment.
I mean, actually, we've only seen, I think, Claire Foy in First Man in that category. And you've seen Amy Adams in Vice.
In Vice, yeah. I did love Amy Adams' performance, but it wasn't something... It wasn't something that I feel like she should have won for. You know, because this is Amy Adams...
Yeah.
You know, caliber.
And,
you know?
And Claire Foy, though she's a magnificent actor, she was very good in First Man, but I don't think,
Me neither.
Winning an award.
I agree. Finally, Best Animated Movie. We are both so happy.
Yes.
This one, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won Best Animated Feature at the Golden Globes.
Absolutely.
Yes,
fantastic.
Yes. Finally, because I was really disappointed last year with the animated film winners. It was like Coco won and some other. For me, I wanted the Van Gogh animated film to win.
Okay.
Because again, it was something that was completely innovative. Mm-hmm. Like the way that it was done, it's a once in a lifetime kind of like, you know, nobody's going to go ahead and do a film like this again. You know what I mean? Some kind of recognition for something that is new and innovative would have been, for me, a much better win. And here, this is what we got. Yeah. We got the innovation, the evolution in animation winning Best Animated Film. Best Song went to Shallow. No doubt that
makes sense.
Going to be winning anyway. I had no doubt that would win. And then finally, we were snubbed.
We were. And there is a quick category I want to which is Best Director.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I forgot to put that up
there. Yeah, no worries. I have it in front of me. So Alfonso Cuarón
won.
Look, I've seen a bit of Roma, and I can understand why he won. Technically speaking.
Sure.
I think we'll delve into Roma at some point, me and you, in
eventually,
the future.
Eventually, down the line, yeah.
But that's it. And we were snubbed by Roma.
Leave it to them Italians.
Spanish.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. I've embarrassed me on the air.
Not even Spanish. Mexican or Spanish? Oh.
No. Now that's confusing.
I think
we are losing so many points right now.
I know Roma takes place in Mexico.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if Cuarón is Mexican or I think he's Mexican.
I think he's Mexican.
if you want, like, to talk about this for a second, and I'll look it up in a half.
Yeah, I mean, like, Capernaum was nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Foreign Film.
Mexican.
He is Mexican. There we go. So, sorry, we apologize in advance for making those two horrible errors.
Terrible mistakes.
All right. All right. So, news keeps coming in with us counting down to, well, but me personally, counting down to a film that, again, they haven't even started filming, and I'm already excited about this movie so much.
Oh, I'm excited too.
I cannot wait for this to get closer to a reality. Denis Villeneuve's newest film. Production that he's working on. Now, this was announced, like, I think...
Last year,
at some point, that he was going to be adapting Frank Herbert's Dune, which was adapted once before as a film, and
I think it had Sting.
Yeah, and it was not that successful, and then they did a TV version of it, which was also not successful, and now the one man, I think, that's going to make this thing...
successful
at the level of grandiosity of the story and the sci-fi world is Denis Villeneuve. I think this is the smartest choice for director, in my opinion. Now, if anybody doesn't know, if you guys don't know what Dune is a science fiction novel series, actually, about the son of a noble family who tries to avenge his father's death while saving a spice planet that he is entrusted to protect. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, politicking, sci-fi politicking, and, world building and all that stuff. Now, so far... the film has four actors basically cast in it. The first one to be rumored to be in it was Rebecca Ferguson.
Yep.
From the Mission Impossible films. Also, The Greatest Showman. I love her. Mm-hmm. I think she needs to be in more stuff. And I love that this isn't, this is a project
a different
that she's
kind
gonna
of
be
genre that she's
working with. She's going to be playing the role of Lady Jessica. And then we heard about Timothée Chalamet,
mm-hmm.
Who will be playing the lead in the film.
Fantastic actor.
I'm a huge fan of his as well. Paul Atreides is the name of the character. And then we got Dave Bautista.
My friend.
He's going to be playing Glossu Raban. And then yesterday, I think, an announcement also, Stellan Skarsgård is going to be playing the lead villain in the story, Baron Harkonnen.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about this for so many reasons. I think Villeneuve's power in Blade Runner just excites me. If this is what he did with the Blade Runner universe, this is like Lord of the Rings level.
I just have one concern with the film, not with Villeneuve.
Okay.
So Blade Runner, Villeneuve isn't a very commercial box office.
Right.
And I think this has a series of 7 books.
Uh-huh.
So they probably want to bank on the whole thing. So I do hope it works.
Yeah, me too.
With all my heart. And I hope they'll have like a nice new original franchise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, we're a bit tired of repetition
of
and
course.
So on. That's my only concern, the part where it goes a bit more successfully commercially.
Okay.
But I'm very excited about the cast.
I'm
very
so
excited
am I.
About Villeneuve.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think Villeneuve needs to tap into his commercial side a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think if he does... if he does his thing with that little spice of commercialism, I think it'll be very successful.
Because all his films are great. Arrival, great. Blade Runner, great. Prisoners,
great. Sicario, fantastic.
But again, not these big movies you saw at the box office. And for a franchise to sustain, if at least they're going to go for 3 movies, not 7, let's say.
Yeah.
He needs to kind of, a bit loosen the commercial reins.
From what I understood, this film is going to be only the first part of of the first book.
Also, okay.
Yeah, so there was a statement that said that, and then there was a statement that said this is going to be book 1 and 2, so I'm not even sure which one is going to be the case, but if it is the first half of the book, I mean,
and
wow.
Even if you look at the cast, which are all fantastic in my opinion, but again, not big box office names.
By themselves.
There's no like that one big star leading.
But you know, but it's not wrong. It's refreshing.
I agree.
It's so refreshing.
But I'm just thinking sustainability. That's it. That's my only worry. It's not that I don't want it to be made or anything. It's not that I don't like these actors.
Right.
It's just that I want to see this go through.
And I highly doubt that Villeneuve is not going to tap into commercial. I mean, I'm pretty sure the studio made it very clear that we need to sustain this because it's a bunch of different books. And it'd be nice to see Timothée in something a little less indie.
Yeah, I agree.
I think something that's a little more,
out there, more fun.
And fun. And I mean, I'm excited about the cast so far. It's only four of them, but I'm super excited about that already. Next on the list is something that's a little bit more controversial. John Lasseter, CEO or president of Pixar, was recently hired at Skydance Animation, and drama ensued all over Twitter because of his alleged sexual harassment allegations. I was very angry about the allegations to begin with because the statement that he made was that he was hugging people and he's a hugger. Whether or not that is the case, I really don't want to get into it. But Twitter needs to calm their tits because you can't go around just like barking things just because of allegations or what the media said or whatever. He was let go from this. People can learn. People can change. Like, what do you want him to be? Like, jobless for the rest of his life? I don't understand. Like, it just bothers me. Like, fine, okay, if they were true, he could have learned his lesson and he could be moving on. Like, are we not okay with people getting a second chance or...
But depending on what happened. Again, I don't know what he did. I mean, there are no facts today as to he did this. And there's just allegations.
Right.
And this is the whole problem with... allegations.
Right.
Sometimes I think it could be unfair to certain people if the claims, because they're different stories, but if the claims are him just hugging people, I think people, as you said, should calm their tits. If it was more than that, then maybe we'll have to wait and see.
I made the statement on the show here. I'm like, well, don't come to Lebanon then, because we're all huggers in this country. Yeah. Oh. Like, I don't understand.
Huggers,
like,
and kissers.
Yeah. Three kisses. Times. Yeah. You know, like, I don't get it. Like, it's, this is the overly snowflakey culture that we live in now. Everybody's oversensitive. Yeah. If you do something, it could be interpreted as a million different things. And this is it's a dangerous precedent.
But, with that on the side, I want to look at it on a business level and on a cinematic level. I think it's a very good thing
Skydance has done because I think they haven't lead them down a new,
Have they made animation? I think it's a studio that's going to kick off animation through him, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they have, but it hasn't been anything huge.
Okay.
I can't think of a very smart business move, and hopefully it lasts and it sticks, and they don't fire him again because of the craziness.
Yeah, because this guy is a genius. This guy created a whole new way of movie making.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
And again, just to make our stance very clear, no, we're not defending sexual harassment. No, we're not defending whatever. What we are saying is that since with John Lasseter, there was never 100% proof of anything, this needs to calm down. Like, the people need to take a breath. They were allegations. There was nothing proven. And I am under the belief of guilty. I mean, innocent until proven guilty. So there's that.
Yeah.
On a more lighter tone, the Oscars are apparently between not having a host at all or having a team of hosts, and the team being none other than the Avengers themselves. I don't know how to feel about this.
I mean, look, I'm very happy and I love the idea. of it because it's smart. Again, in terms of the ratings have been going down and down and down over
the last... Well, that's because the show is becoming more and more and more and more political and dull.
Well, when you get the Avengers in the mix, these are people that have worked together, that have chemistry, that are fun. They have a massive following.
Yeah, but the last thing I want to see is Thor making a Trump joke in the middle of the Oscars. Like, I don't, you know,
he
like...
He doesn't have to make a Trump joke. He could make other jokes, whatever. I mean... Again, I'm talking about the idea of these people interacting, and Robert Downey Jr. is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Chris Hemsworth has proven to be very funny, too. Mm-hmm. Chris Evans more classy and, you know, like kind of going back to Dean Martin and all those like...
He's such a cap.
Yeah, he's such a cap. Mark, I'd love to see the Hulk just come in and smash everything.
Yeah, like a hologram of the Hulk.
Yeah. but my ideal dream team, and I told you this, would be to get, and I think the Academy should do this for ratings, get Jason Momoa. Because he's
Warner Brothers DC,
and they should get Robert Downey Jr. and maybe throw in Ryan Reynolds as from Deadpool, and just have these three do the Oscars.
I think that would be fun.
But I think they are going towards more of no hosts. This is what I've been reading more and more. I find that a bit sad.
I mean, of course, because the host was always a highlight of the show. Yeah. But, you know, with the Kevin Hart mess, which, again, I'm standing with Kevin Hart on this one. I'm sorry. A joke that was made 10 years ago that he clearly apologized for. Not that he needed to apologize for. A joke. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I'm sorry. If you're too sensitive to hear a joke, don't go watch any stand-up comedies.
Don't follow comedians on Twitter.
Yeah, don't do that because obviously you're not made to
be joked with.
Be joked around with. Yeah, absolutely. Finally... the last two things on our list, two sequels. One of them is a potential. The other is clearly moving forward. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the clearly moving forward one. Eddie Murphy's returning with Coming to America 2.
Yes. So happy. So excited. It's been over, I think, 20 years.
Since that. Okay.
Since that. And they have the director. They have everything is set.
Is there more story to tell, you think?
Well, 20 years after, it could be about how his kids. It could be him going back to America for some reason. It could be back in his home. They could do a lot of things. I'm sure they can come up with so much. And
I think they should call it either Coming Back to America or Return to America.
Or Coming To, number two.
Oh, yeah, America. Coming To America.
They kind of like to do that. That's like script to screen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the screenwriter is going to be Barry Blaustein and David Sheffield, which write on Blackish.
Oh, okay.
No, it's being rewritten by Kenya Barris from Blackish. So they wrote the original script.
Okay.
And Craig Brewer, who did Hustle and Flow, is going to be directing the film.
Okay.
And so you're going to have Eddie Murphy, who might play 29 characters or I don't know how many characters.
Yeah, because you never know with Eddie Murphy.
That's fun. That was Eddie Murphy. As Anthony Salemi said when he was on the show. That was a great performance back then. One man doing all these characters. I hope he does it.
I mean, he's done that in many of his films, though.
Yeah, The Nutty Professor and so on, but he hasn't done it for a while.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that there are rumors flying about, which are, I'm not surprised at all, but there are rumors flying about that Rob Marshall is meeting with Disney executives again to take on Mary Poppins into a franchise.
Re-returns?
So if you guys don't know this, that Mary Poppins is based on a bunch of different books. And Mary Poppins Returns is one of those books. But there are four more after that. The next one being called Mary Poppins Forever.
Okay.
Which like sounds like such a, I mean, it sounds like such a Disney title too, you know, like Mary Poppins Forever. I'm okay with this. I mean, I'm not disappointed. I'm kind of excited. If they can bring the level of magic that was in Mary Poppins Returns to a few more films and spread them out, don't spit them out like gunfire. You know, give us 2 to 3 years between each one. I'm okay with it.
But there's one thing I don't want: a Mary Poppins origin story.
Yeah, no,
please
no,
don't
no,
do
yeah,
that.
No, no because, prequels.
Because they're going to get bored and they're going to be, okay, let's make a movie of how Mary Poppins
became Mary. No. No prequels,
please,
no
Disney
nothing.
Guys, just, you know, stick to the books.
And the rumor did state that Rob Marshall has already spoken to Emily Blunt, that this is a possibility, and things seem to be positive. So, cool. I mean, I would love to see her back in the role. I for me, that's super exciting.
It sounds good.
Go forth and give us new original content with an existing character versus remaking things that, you know, we don't want them remade.
I'm just confused, but okay, I think I get you.
No, like
I know. Yeah. I'm just messing around.
All right. Don't mess around with me this much.
Let's do the mess around.
I don't know what that is. That's
a Ray Charles song.
Is it really?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Box office.
Le box office.
And we're still not impressed with the box office.
I am, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
There's something I'm happy. Like I'm a silver lining kind of person.
Sure.
I want to look at the positive things.
Uh huh.
I'll get it when we wrap up to explain everything because it deals with numbers.
Okay. So all right, coming in at number five this week, which is the. Sorry. Okay.
Yep.
So coming in at number five is Mary Poppins Returns with 21,696 as its total run. Yeah. Total sorry. Run. This week it brought in 6,444 entries.
Yep. And then at number four, you have Mia and the White Lion, which I believe is a French movie.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1 week, it has gathered 7,985 entries.
Right. And then we jump up to number three with the Ocean Master himself.
Or dive in.
Or dive in. Yeah. Okay. Well played. Aquaman brings in 10,958 entries this week alone. This is its third week and it's so far gathered 68,529. Holy mother. I just saw the numbers. Okay.
Yeah. So Time Out, Lebanese film. It's been out for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
This week made 23,431 entries and a total of, whoa, this is a big number, 112,480 entries in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. Bringing us to number one, which is another Lebanese film, Maharaja, with 25,993 entries this week. And this is the second week as well. And whoa, boy, 133,956 in its total run.
Yep.
This is crazy.
This is okay. So this is what I want to take a second to say. If you combine these two films in 2 weeks have had 246,436 entries, which is very promising for Lebanese cinema, regardless of the quality of these films.
Okay.
So
sure. You are really toeing the line at silver lining, aren't you?
Well, yeah. But today, this can make investors believe in Lebanese cinema. And maybe along the line of all these movies that are coming out, some not so good, will have some better and better ones and some things to be proud of time. Because we haven't been making Lebanese movies for very, very long. Like
That is very true.
So they're increasing. And in the last 2 years, we've seen two very good movies that made it to the awards ceremonies. Uh-huh. Hopefully, Cafarnaum will make it to the Oscars.
Right.
But
It did recently get nominated for BAFTA as well.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, congrats
to
them.
So we need to make a lot of movies to have one or two really good movies. And then these two movies will become four movies and so on and so forth. And with time, the Lebanese cinema landscape has to evolve. And this is a way, I think, in the correct direction in terms of numbers, mm-hmm, in terms of mm-hmm. people. Now, with time, people's interests will have to change.
Sure.
They'll have to go watch more mature movies and so on. But I think this is all the process
of... you would only hope that
But this is a process of evolving, being more curious and so on. And I think with time, this thing will happen. And I believe it is a step in the right direction.
Okay.
And I think we have to be patient. And it's good for people who invested, for the Lebanese actors, for Lebanese movie theaters to have these numbers of people walk into movie theaters. This is the positive side I want to look at, despite them not necessarily being fantastic works of art.
Yeah, I'm more of a cynic when it comes to this, though, because for me, what this shows an investor is that give people films of this caliber and they're just going to come and watch it anyway. So for me, why would I take a risk and give something more creative an investment when I know that this is going to bring, you know, caliber like this
because
is going to bring in an audience.
They'll get to a point where they want something new. They need something different. cinema has evolved. Comedy hasn't remained the same in the past 50, 60 years. It's catered to a new audience, to a younger audience.
I mean, I
do believe in the things change for the best, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Again.
So, hopefully. Yeah. Okay, script to screen recommendations. What do you have in store for us today?
I'm going to let you go first because I'm going to cheat.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why are you going to cheat?
You'll find out.
Oh, no.
Mierda.
Mierda. Okay. It's funny. I didn't come that prepared today.
Okay. So, do you want me to start then?
No. I can recommend something. Yeah, you go first.
Okay. So there's another movie that came out this week which I saw, and I do want to recommend it. And it's when you didn't see it yet. And it's How to Train Your Dragon 3, The Hidden World.
You can't say anything about it, though, because that'll be spoilers.
I'm not going to say... Come on, I don't spoil things. You're the one that's more of a spoiler head than me.
Ay vey. All right.
Look, it's the perfect way to conclude a trilogy. Mm-hmm. For me, it's a very well-made trilogy, these three movies. Visually, the movie is breathtaking. There are these scenes in clouds and in nature and in other places which are just wow. And in terms of storyline, it is such a touching movie. It is beautiful. I'm not going to tap into
themes,
the messages and
themes
because I really don't want to spoil anything. But it is... Animation is getting better and better.
It is.
I wish that more live action films would take rip a page from that book and work on story and on heart and your famous three H's. It has that. We started with The Mule this year and it was like a meh kind of year. Yeah. And then I saw this and I'm like, okay, 2019 is, you know, it's
yeah, I mean, both of us actually were slightly more impressed with even the new Captain Marvel trailer that came out. We were both slightly a bit more open to the idea. A little bit of her characteristics started to come out.
Agreed.
And a little bit more of her character started to come out. And I like that moment of comedy between her and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, with the hat, the shield hat.
Yeah, the shield hat. And then the other one where she uses her photon blaster. And she's like, well, that's a photon blaster. And he goes, what difference does that, you know, like... All right, a little bit.
Okay, let's be hopeful.
And then even one of the members on the team said that this is, you know, it has the same tone as The Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Which I'm like, okay, maybe. Maybe because of the whole double side of the scrolls and all that stuff. Anyway, my recommendation this week is going to be a television series. It's a series that was released on, I believe it was released on BBC America first, and then it shifted over to Netflix, and now everybody that has Netflix has seen it. And it was nominated for a Golden Globe this year. Just Bodyguard. Richard Madden stars in that. This show was the reason why he was approached by MGM for possibly taking over James Bond's role. I haven't finished the series yet by any means. My family and I are only three episodes in, but my lord.
Okay.
Is that show intense?
Nice.
I mean, three episodes in, we've already had casualties.
Okay.
And some of the best acting I've ever seen Richard Madden do. It's so beautifully crafted, so beautifully written. I mean, like I said, episode three, cannot wait to finish it off. It's only six episodes, so we're literally at halfway point. But again, very, 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 very intense. You don't feel those 57 minutes passing.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully made, a kind of CIA, you know, like British intelligence kind of show. That would be my recommendation this week.
I think I will watch it soon.
Bodyguard. Watch it. It's fantastic.
Maybe.
So, yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff coming up. A bunch of different announcements, two of which we'll probably get to very soon. We'll be announcing those. We have something that we are doing in March that's very exciting. Possibly something that's happening with Script to Screen in April that's also very exciting.
True.
And we've got so many guests. Mm-hmm. Next Friday on Spotlight, make sure to catch Louis.
Louis Yamin.
From Louis Made It on Instagram. He's a... chef?
Well, you'll find out exactly what he does, but he does some cooking consultancy.
Yeah.
Initially, he was into finance. His story is very interesting. And his love of food took him somewhere else.
Much as all of our love of food takes us places.
And we'll be discussing
food movies,
food in film. Voila.
Voila, food in film. So that's going to be very exciting. We've got a whole bunch of different guests actually coming on. We've got our Oscars round table coming up very soon. I'm pumped for this year of Script to Screen. It's going to be freaking fantastic.
Can I say something very quickly? Do we have time? Do I have 60 seconds?
You have more than 60 seconds.
Okay, so I read something online. I think I shared it with you, which is about the new Avengers movie, that they're just going to be the trailers.
From the first
15, 20 minutes. And I'm so happy.
Yes.
Because it's not going to ruin anything, hopefully. Nope. They don't want to show the, big twists that might be seen in trailers that we usually get. So I'm very happy about that. Please, Hollywood, also learn and try to do that more frequently. Try to rethink trailers. I think you're just showing too much. You're sometimes disappointing us.
Mm-hmm.
So
very true.
I'm very happy with this. This really put a big, big smile on my face, especially that,
you were very excited.
I'm not big on spoilers and I like to discover things. It was so much nicer 15, 20, 30 years ago, just going into a movie and having seen one trailer, maybe on TV and perhaps seeing
in
it or
a
not.
World.
Oh, the movie guy. Yeah. Or at the movie theaters. That was fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now it's not just, back in the day it was like movie theaters, maybe some you will see on television, but now it's like movie theaters, television, online, on your phone, on your laptop, everywhere you go,
open the fridge, there's a trailer. No, not really. But
I hope that we don't get to that.
I mean, who knows? Maybe one day the fridge will.
Well, I mean, according to Blade Runner,
our
clothes are supposed to be completely different now, and they're not. So,
we good, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Another request for Hollywood: please release a freaking teaser trailer for Star Wars, please. I mean, I think we're ready for it. Although I think we're gonna wait until April for Star Wars Celebration. They're not gonna say anything before then, but maybe just a title, something. I don't know.
If they do that, they'll probably do it before.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% certain the teaser trailer won't come anytime before April, honestly, because that's when Star Wars Celebration is happening this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So?
Yep.
I think that's a wrap, basically.
That is a wrap for us. So, if you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Alan Mahana for me on Instagram and Twitter, and...
only on Instagram, I am had.solo.
If you want to listen to our show, you can do so on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, yada, 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 all podcast platforms. Yeah. Our Enrami listeners, you guys are devoted, man. I love you guys.
Yeah.
You're listening to us from all over the MENA region, which is freaking fantastic. We hit our first 1K listens earlier this week, which is fantastic. Thank you, all you guys, for bringing the show, and supporting us and listening to us. Speaking of supporting to us and listening to us, please make sure you do leave us a voice message on Anchor or email us.
Or if you want, on Instagram, send us voice messages or messages. Just talk to us, we want to hear from you. We want to share, we want to share you with the world. I don't know what I just said, but yes.
No, I mean, we want to share your voice note. We want to share your feedback. And we are planning something very massive for the beginning of June, which is essentially going to be our 1 year anniversary of Script to Screen Evolved. It'll be our 1 year anniversary. So it's very exciting. We're planning a big, massive listener feedback show, which can only be a thing if we hear from you.
Yeah, we need you.
So we need to hear from you. We need to hear your feedback. Send us emails, DM us, voicemails on
anything
Anchor.
You want.
Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. Watch our show on YouTube as
on
well.
On Facebook.
Thank you for all your support. Yep. And here's two more episodes. Yep. And
Uncle Had and Uncle Alan want you. Like the Uncle Sam.
All right.
Yeah.
So we'll see you guys next Friday for a brand new episode of Script to Screen Spotlight. See you later.
Have a great weekend.